content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Higher, baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, and that's it in studio today. It's just us three girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we've got a great show coming up, everyone. If you're maybe just joining us for the first time, you know, we get new listeners every day, and it's such a thrill to be in this spot and have the privilege of having a voice. And one of the reasons that that's so important to me, because of all the work that we do with the animals out there that are in so great great need. What do I want to say?
Of great need.
Of great need. Thank you, Aviana. I think you know what? I told you guys this before we went live. That GABA really works. I think I took too much GABA last night. Mm. I hardly remember even going to sleep. And that's crazy for me.
You need to slow your roll with the GABA.
I know.
Maybe you're taking too much.
Maybe I'm taking too much. You know, I'm like that. I never learned the word sparingly.
Right. You pour.
You pour, you stop. Yeah, you
probably
that's how
a good
I cook.
Thing though. You've been trying to get some sleep, right?
Yes, I really have. I have such a creative mind. It's hard for me to shut it off at night.
And you also have 21 animals.
And I have 21 animals. I do have a lot of. Well, right now I have 24 because my daughter brought her three cats home for the summer. So I have 24 animals at the house right now.
I think I had a dream that you've had you found five dogs somewhere else and. You kept adding and adding.
Well, you know, people say, oh my God, how can she do that? That's so crazy. But, you know, my home is kind of like a sanctuary for animals.
They each have their place.
And it actually runs pretty smoothly as long as I keep everything on a schedule.
You do have a good setup.
And the way her floor plan is laid out, it doesn't, if you're imagining like a farm with all these animals running around, it's not like that.
No.
She has everything put in the right place. You barely notice.
Thank you so much for saying that.
One end, dogs on the other end, and then cats on the far end.
You wouldn't know that she has 20.
No, and
animals.
You'd never smell it either because I have a cat box for every one of them.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
so,
you walk in and you only see like three cats and maybe a dog or two.
Well, and we all need purpose, you know, and so it's my purpose. My purpose is to help animals, and so much so that even with all the animals that we just talked about, you know, I was on Instagram I guess it was 2 weeks ago, and I saw a post from Dallas Dogger, which is Doggrrr, and we've got Patty Dawson here with us. She is the founder of it. Are you not, Patty? How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm actually not the founder. Marina is the founder. I'm the president and executive director.
Okay.
But she had started it when Dallas had the overpopulation.
Mm-hmm.
And she had come here by herself and started a mission to kind of help animals. And then a bunch of people rallied. And then I was one of the people that actually put the nonprofit together behind her. She was kind of doing it on her own, just raising money off Facebook.
Yeah. Well, good for you for helping her out. It is important. You know, no one does it by themselves. We all need a team behind us. But you guys are doing like some really great work. So, you know, the story is, so I was on Instagram a couple of weeks ago and I saw this dog. What was his name, Avi?
Sanford.
Okay. Sanford, you want to tell the story, Patty?
Yeah, Sanford was a dog in a really rural shelter. It's not really even a shelter. It's basically a shed, and they just put runs in it. There's no air. There's no. There's nothing in there. It's just a closed with one window.
So you can
imagine what that's like.
Oh, well, this is a municipality somewhere in Texas.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, not far out of Dallas.
And we can't say.
No, because it's very contentious right now. They're barely letting us in there to work with them. So,
okay. Well, you know what? Let's talk about this. And because so I saw the dog Sanford, and he had been hit by a car, and he had been thrown into this shelter, if you will. I'm using air quotes. And he had no medical attention for up to a week. You got when you guys found him, he had been hit by a car, stuck in this shelter, in this area, if you will, with no medical attention, suffering there in pain with horrible road rash and just really scared out of his mind, suffering. And so, what happened? Because you said this became contentious. I heard that there was a big controversy about it on social media.
Several of the volunteers have already been kicked out of that shelter. So we built a relationship with that shelter. The problem out here is a lot of the shelters, it's not just this one, sadly. It's a lot of the shelters. They're so afraid of the contentious and the death. And we know that death happens in shelters.
Unfortunately, of course.
It does. And unfortunately, it does. But the dogs that are there, we want networked and try to get them out. So this dog, it went Facebook. It went, you know, Marina, who is actually our founder, posted this dog, and I had reached out and said, "Hey, what can we do to help?" No one knew he was there for like a week, because the new management basically is building that trust and doesn't really want anybody. So we're working very hard to get back in there. So Marina went down, and we got the dog out, got it the medical care, but he had been hit by a car and then dumped into the shelter. And basically, they don't network the dogs, so they sit there. So even people can't find their own dogs.
Oh,
so
wow.
So they have to go to the city and say, "This is my dog," and then somebody from the city will take them over to that shelter.
Yeah.
So-called shelter.
Well, you know, and this happens over and over and over again, because we do have a very bad problem of overpopulation across America, in every city, in every town. And this is why we do what we do here, you know, One Life Radio. This is something I'm so passionate about and have been my whole life. We really have to pay attention and spay and neuter our animals. You know, I heard a story of someone that, you know, this is in Oklahoma, where, you know, my daughter adopted this last little kitten, Popcorn, okay? And Popcorn came from a girl who had a cat who let it get pregnant again after, and because she put off getting it spayed and neutered. It's like, you know, people need to wake up. They really do, because we have an overpopulation problem, huge in this country. And I heard in Houston alone, there's over 1 million homeless dogs on the streets just in the city limits of the city of Houston, which they'll be hearing this a little later on today. This broadcast goes on to Houston and then Southern California. This is a huge problem across our whole nation. And here's the crazy thing. We can fix it.
All of it can be prevented.
All of it can be
totally
prevented.
I think the biggest thing is, like the state of Texas just knocked down that they lollygagged the bill for restraining dogs and providing proper shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's a contentious bill, because it all goes with the wording of the bill. And, you know, he didn't like the wording of the bill, whatever, whatever, whatever. Regardless, that's an issue, and I'm not trying to devalue that issue.
Mm-hmm.
The nation really needs to put the spay and neuter into place. The fact that we still have cities that don't have the law to spay and neuter your pets, but then even when you get the law, is enforcing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you go on, and they don't enforce it.
Absolutely.
It's an ongoing, a dog gets out, it gets, you know, well, my dog gets out. Well, because she's in heat, and her job is to go out and find a mate. Like, that's instinctually what she does. But she wouldn't do that if... And what's funny is I live in Allen, which is pretty a suburb off Dallas. Many people probably, it's like a suburb, like everybody's like, "Oh, Allen." Like it's a pretty rural, not rural, actually, it's a pretty suburb. You know, everybody, it's a perfect little neighborhood.
Yeah, it's for all the beautiful people, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All the beautiful people. So the other day, my husband calls me and he's like, "Can you come outside?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And there's this like American Bulldog pit bull sitting on my front yard. And my husband's like, "He followed me home." And I'm like, "Great."
Wow.
And this is in Allen, where everybody's chipped, everybody's medically treated. I mean, they're all groomed. This dog, you know, not neutered. And I said to the owner, he was chipped, thank God. His owner came over and I said, "Hey, do you need help? We'll spay and neuter your pet." "Oh, he's fine. I'm training him to be, you know, masculine. He's fine. He's healthy. He doesn't need to be neutered."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, and I said, not only about he would get out less if he was neutered, two, I said, it's about being helped. Many people don't realize that the health of the animal is impaired when you don't spay and neuter.
We get
so many dogs that die from pyromethia or cancer of the testicles for the guys and mammary tumors. And all of that could be prevented if they spayed and neutered their pets.
Well, I don't understand why so many men out there, and this is kind of funny, but it's really not, because it is such a problem, how they relate their own testicles to their dog's testicles. Like, what's up
that
with that?
That is so true.
They do. They act like it's their own. They're getting neutered or something. It's so Neanderthal.
It is. And it's so common. Like, and we've you know, we work a lot with families in Dallas and say, listen, we go down and educate and say, listen, you can keep your dog. And we work on them, you know, finding proper housing and that kind of thing. And then working on getting them spayed and neutered and going door to door and knocking. And we've driven dogs to get spayed and neutered so that they can get it done, some, you know, to help those financially or those that are unable to go and do it. But there just needs to be more resources out there. For example, we rescue a lot in South Texas, border of Mexico. I mean, pretty much.
Wow.
You know, McAllen area. We rescue a lot down there.
So you go that far. That is wonderful. That is so wonderful. So
probably about 75 to 100 dogs from the south a month.
Wow. You and know,
it's bad down there.
Oh, I know it's bad. No, I've heard it's really bad down there, and I have such a tender heart. I want to take every one of them home. I really do. It bothers me so much. And so that's so great that you guys do that. So what are some of what can people do out there listening to help you guys, Dallas Dogger?
Lots of things. Actually, we really need some volunteers, even remotely, that can do. I mean, we have medical records that need to be. We have emails that need to be checked. We have messages. We need fosters desperately. Like, we're at a point right now where we're locked and can't rescue dogs because we have so many in our rescue that need fosters.
Mm-hmm.
We have boarding that's full. And it's hard when you're productively trying to rescue dogs and can't because we don't have enough fosters. You know, we pay for everything. We pay for all the medical. We pay for all the supplies. You know, we have adoption events every month, every weekend, like two or three a weekend. So it's not like there's not one close to you. We do the whole Metroplex. We have fosters as far as Longview, which is about a two-hour drive all the way up to Sherman and out west Fort Worth, and even some people closer to Waco, which we do about a 2 to 3 hour ratio, depending on some of our medical dogs can go further out for recouping.
Well, I love the work that you're doing. And so the website, let's get it out there so people can go to it. Is it dallasdogger.org?
Yes, it's www.dallas and then doggrr.org.
I love it. I love what you're doing. How's Sanford? What's up with him? Does he need a home?
He's doing great, actually. Yes, he does need a home, actually. He's in foster. He's doing great. He does have to have surgery. He'll be going to see a specialist. His injuries are old. He had the one injury, but then he actually has some really old injuries that need to be repaired, and they're going to have to go to a specialist because it healed completely wrong. So, and he's heartworm positive, of course.
Of course. Yeah.
Goes without saying, but yeah, he's doing great and a sweetheart. Oh, he's just a glump.
Well, you know what? I'm going to make a contribution after the show, and I hope everyone will follow, even if it's $5, $10. But more importantly, get involved. Maybe foster an animal for a couple of weeks and help these ladies. And I'm guessing there's some gentlemen involved as well, right?
Yeah, we actually have our guy population fostering has increased. We have lots of guy volunteers. You know, they're actively involved with some of our core members. You know, we work pretty spread out. So we have volunteers all over. We have actually several volunteers up in Seattle, Washington, where we transport to on some of our dogs with our partnerships. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity. We also have our Amazon wish list that's on our website.
Oh.
But if you can't contribute and some people like to just donate, we have our ongoing wish list of items that we're short on.
Oh, wow. I think that's where I'm going to go. I love getting on Amazon.
And it goes to, you know, we have several dogs that sometimes we do a private wish list if they need specific things,
okay.
But we also have a general one.
Well, it's always a pleasure having you guys on.
Thank you.
And let us know any other way we can help. Patty Dawson, thank you so much. You're welcome. It's totally my pleasure. I encourage everyone to go to Dallas Dogger. That's dallasdogrr.org and make a contribution and help these people out. We've got Cassie Bjork coming up and Dr. Johnny Bowden. I love this guy. We'll be right back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMad, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, and I have Cassie Bjork on the line. But before we get to her, I want to let everyone know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter, or go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great company that care about you, and other organizations like Dallas Dogger. And I just made a contribution, by the way, a reoccurring monthly payment of $50. So they have a stream of money coming in that they can count on. And I can't think of a better way to spend my money. So a big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior, Honest Hemp, Crazy Water, Keto Med, Nature's Plate, Paleo Magazine, the Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition, as well as Thorne Research. Check out our dispensary on our website at oneliferadio.com/Thorne and get 20% off all supplements, which is, Cassie Bjork will tell you, that's a great deal and what a great company they are as well. Right, Cassie?
Yeah, you know, we love supplements as long as they're the high quality right ones.
So absolutely. Well, and you know, like vitamin D is a big one. A lot of people don't get enough vitamin D, especially if they don't go outdoors a lot. And so if someone's, you know, feeling, not feeling well, a lot of times that's at the root of it, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that you bring that one up. I think that one's just one of the really simple ones. It's like such a tiny little inexpensive supplement. It can do wonders. I mean, mm-hmm. we've seen women think that they were clinically depressed only to find out that they only had a low vitamin D level.
I know.
And I think most doctors tell you, you know, you want your level to be between like 20 and 80, and you really want it to be between 50 and 80 in that upper range. Otherwise, you might just notice your moods aren't that great. You're kind of just feeling meh, you know, kind of foggy and just not that great. And vitamin D, you know, it affects your metabolism, your weight loss. There's so many properties. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people think just because they're in the sun, like especially in the summer, or, you know, if you're in California like me, they think, I'm getting enough vitamin D. But the reality is a lot of us still aren't.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, I don't recommend people just baking out in the sun all day because of skin cancer and things like that. So mm-hmm. I think it's just such an inexpensive, important supplement to take.
Yeah. And Thorne formulates it with the K, with the vitamin K as well. And tell mm-hmm. our listeners why that's so important to put the D with the K.
It helps with the absorption. So, you know, different supplements have different ways that help it get absorbed in the body better. And the great thing about K is it just helps you make the most of your vitamin D. Kind of like if you're taking zinc, you want to take it with selenium. And there's always like nutrients that you want to pair together. And the K works really well with the D just to make sure you're getting the most of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we're supposed mm-hmm. to talk about today is how to fire up your metabolism,
We can talk about anything you want.
Well, you know, and that's good. And because there are so many things, there's so much we need to know and remember. And there's so much out there that it's hard to remember some of the really key things, but I really feel like vitamin D is one of those things. But we're supposed to be talking about how to fire up your metabolism today, because you wrote this great article in Paleo Magazine titled How to Fire Up Your Metabolism. So let's talk about that exactly, what your metabolism is and what it does.
Yeah, metabolism is kind of like a hot word, and not everybody even understands really what it means, but it's one of the things people ask me the most as a dietitian is like, how do I get my metabolism fired up? Especially because I think a lot of people notice when their metabolism isn't fired up, you know, when you're feeling sluggish and when those extra, you know, 10 or 15 pounds are feeling super stubborn and it's like almost impossible to get them off. And when you're just not feeling like yourself, that's when your metabolism is probably not working so well. So let's just back up and talk about what even is a metabolism. Your metabolism, that nice word, refers to how much your body is able to convert the things you eat and drink into energy and how much it stores them as fat. So you're either converting the foods you eat and drink into energy or you're storing it in your body as fat. And when you keep your metabolism revved up, not only is it easier to lose weight if that's a goal of yours, but you're going to feel better, mm-hmm. you know, because you're going to get more energy from the foods that you're eating. You're going to feel excited. You're going to hopefully feel like the Energizer Bunny. And that's what we all want.
Oh, for
sure. So, yeah, there's different ways you can fire it up. And, you know, vitamin D is a great one. It helps to rev up your metabolism. And I think one of the big things that, you know, is a big myth that we've seen for so long is people oftentimes will think, you know, I just need to eat less to lose weight. And I think we've busted that myth a million times. But the reason I bring this up is because when it comes to your metabolism, you want to make sure you're eating enough.
Mm-hmm.
Especially women, I see, even if they're like, you know, I'm not trying to diet, I know low calorie doesn't work, I tried that, it didn't work, oftentimes they still find themselves in these kind of modes of like, well, I'm going to kind of restrict a little bit because I ate too much yesterday, or I saw the number on the scale went up a little bit this morning, so I'm just going to kind of restrict a little bit today. But anytime you do that, it slows your metabolism down because
mm-hmm.
you need to make sure you're eating calories. It's kind of, I like to think about it like a fire. You know, your metabolism is a fire, and the more fuel, you know, the more you fuel the fire, the more it burns.
Mm-hmm.
So the more food you're taking in, of course, if it's like the right types of food, you're going to be, you know, fueling your metabolism. And if you take away food, your metabolism slows down because your body's like, all right, not getting enough energy. I've got to make sure I conserve everything I have. And that's why sometimes when you count calories, you actually gain weight. Because it's like, you know, if we're thinking calorie, you know, metabolism is just all about calories in and calories out, it would almost make sense to just restrict calories. But we know that's a flawed concept. It doesn't work. And that's because your metabolism actually needs calories to keep it burning.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in this article, I love it. It's so well done. Paleo Magazine really does a great job.
Yeah.
And so does the Wellbeing Journal, by the way. Both of them are sponsors of the show. But, you know, you talk about certain spices that will rev up our metabolism. Mm-hmm. So do you want to go over those quickly?
Yeah, we can talk about those. You know, I love spices because they're a great way to add flavor without adding sugar. And there are some different ones that will increase your metabolism and, you know, also, of course, create variety in meals and all that good stuff. Turmeric is one of my favorites. And the way that it ties into metabolism is I think a lot of people know turmeric for its anti-inflammatory properties, which means it can really reduce inflammation that's already present
mm-hmm.
and prevent further damage from inflammation. And that's kind of a big concept. So just to break it down a little bit, what can happen is over time, if you've eaten sugar or processed foods, or if you've done any sort of diet, or if you're breathing the air because there's toxins in the air, it can actually cause inflammation in your body. And, you know, you can't see it or feel it, so you don't always know it's there. But over time, this can kind of add up. And what's great about turmeric is it helps to reduce this inflammation. And the thing is, if we're not doing things that reduce inflammation, it can block our energy levels and it can block our weight loss. Because what happens is your body, the first thing your body wants to do is keep you alive.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that inflammation is at the root of a lot of diseases. So if there's inflammation present in your body, its number one priority is to allocate all of its resources to healing that inflammation.
Oh, wow.
So that's why, you know, it can be hard to lose weight and you might feel like crap and just not have the energy levels that you want if you've got inflammation piled up in your body. So, you know, one of the great things with turmeric is it helps to directly reduce that inflammation. You know, fish oil also reduces inflammation. Just since we were talking about supplements a little bit, I love fish oil because the omega-3s in there will directly reduce inflammation. It's kind of what it's known for. But since we're talking about spices too, you know, that turmeric is a really good one for that.
Yeah. And well, in the article, they mentioned garlic and ginger, cinnamon, mm-hmm. and then peppers.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. All these different spices. Yeah. If you like hot food, you know, peppers, if you have a lot of peppers, that will really increase your metabolic rate because of the adrenaline that happens in your, from your adrenal glands. Oh my gosh, my tongue is twisted with that one.
Yeah.
But, ginger, you know, ginger is a really good one too. Garlic, cinnamon's one that we know helps with, you know, type 2 diabetes because it helps keep your blood sugar levels balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that ties into metabolism is when your blood sugar levels are balanced, that's when your pancreas secretes your turbo fat burning hormone called glucagon. And glucagon burns fat for energy. So, you know, none of these spices, just using a magical spice, you know, I've got air quotes, isn't going to help you lose weight. But the great thing is they all do a little bit of something. So if you're, you know, if you mix them all into the way that you're eating, this isn't just like one magic solution, but all of these things, taking the right supplements, making sure you're not counting calories, adding in spices, add flavor to your meals, but also, you know, get the increased metabolic
right.
rate indirectly. These are all things that you can do.
Well, and what I think is important, and we've talked about this multiple times on the show, is NEAT, which is non-exercise activity thermogenesis. That's really important mm-hmm. to keeping your metabolism all revved up too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I love that there's like so many things we can do. I think for so long, you know, we all just want like a magic pill, but the reality is we've got to make different lifestyle changes. And yeah, adding in NEAT, adding in some of these spices, just making sure
yeah.
you're getting enough sleep and you're not super stressed out. These are all of the ways to keep your metabolism going. Plus,
I just think this is how life is supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it is.
Part of just living a balanced, fulfilled life, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I get my neat from taking care of all my animals. I run from one end of my property several hours a day, taking care of all of them, keeping me busy. So, because I do believe, and I'm a great example of it, that if you are very active physically, your metabolism, which is what we're talking about, how to fire it up, is it generates a lot of if you move a lot, you're going to keep your metabolism strong. So,
that's really the concept, theory, or whatever you want to call it, behind that, you know, neat, that non-exercise activity thermogenesis, is that your body will burn more calories than when you're just at rest all day. So it's moving around, it's adding in, it's having an active lifestyle. And I can relate. I actually got a rescue dog last week.
I saw it.
I'm not sure if you saw on Instagram, but I haven't been to the gym in a couple weeks because I don't have to.
She is
because
so
this
cute.
Dog,
yep.
I'm carrying her because she's kind of scared. I'm going up and down the stairs. Like, I'm moving around a lot more.
No,
I
saw
before,
it.
And I think it's such a great way.
It is. Well, and we watched it on Instagram. I saw your banana videos today, too. I was dying laughing this morning. You've got the same sense of humor that I do when it comes to the banana. So,
so funny. Yeah. You know,
anyway.
Sometimes you got to add a little bit of your personality into this 2-day video shoot. And
always.
Add a little bit of your personality into it. Especially, and the dog made the videos.
Oh, yeah.
Nice and light and fun.
Perfect.
Yeah. Well, it's always great having you on. Cassie Bjork, thank you so much. You know,
I didn't
read your bio today and tell everybody how fantastic you are. I'll have to
and
do it next time.
I am.
Every time.
All right. Okay. All right. It's so great. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care, Cassie.
Thanks, Bernadette.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, everyone, we've got Dr. Johnny Bowden coming up. He is also known as the Nutrition Mythbuster and is a nationally known expert on weight loss and health. He is the author of The Great Cholesterol Myth and the Most Effective Ways to Live Longer. Stay tuned, everyone. Johnny Bowden coming right up. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, and Dr. Johnny Bowden, one of my favorite regulars here on One Life Radio. He's also known as the Nutrition Mythbuster and is a nationally known expert on weight loss and health. He has been seen on Dr. Oz, The Doctors, and every major television network in this country. He is the best-selling author of 15 books, two of which I have in front of me right now, The Great Cholesterol Myth, and his newest book, The Most Effective Ways to Live Longer. Dr. Bowden earned 6 certifications in personal training and fitness and has a master's degree in psychology, a PhD in holistic nutrition, and is board certified by the American College of Nutrition. I love this guy. JohnnyBowden.com is his website. That's JohnnyBowden.com. Today we're talking about what is the best predictor of heart disease. So Dr. Bowden, how are you doing today, Johnny?
How are you guys? Good to talk to you as always.
I love talking to you. I do. And it seems funny calling you Dr. Bowden instead of just Dr. Johnny.
Isn't that weird? Just call me Johnny.
I'll just call you Dr. Johnny.
Yes.
You know, we're talking today, what is the best predictor of heart disease? And so everyone is still so afraid when they hear high cholesterol and, you know, they start cutting out all the foods that raise cholesterol and lose their mind. So tell us, is high cholesterol a predictor for heart disease, Dr. Johnny?
Well, let me put it this way. I'm very in this at the moment because Dr. Steven Sinatra, the cardiologist with whom I wrote The Great Cholesterol Myth, and I have been invited to do a 3.0 revised and updated version because it's been, you know, at least 6 years since 8 years since the book came out. And in 2021, we will republish The Great Cholesterol. It's going to have myths. It's going to have an S on the end now because there's so many of them.
Wow.
The 2021 edition. So I have been deeply immersed in the research that's happened in the last 8 years. And I was struggling so to come up with an image to give audiences about where we stand with the cholesterol test. And I think I finally found it, Bernadette. So I'm going to
put
it here if it's okay with you.
Yes, absolutely. This is a huge subject. So many people, are still afraid of cholesterol.
Okay, so Beth, let me give you the best that I've been able to come up with. When I was a kid, I don't know about you, but maybe some other people as well, when you went to the doctor, the first thing that happened is he took out a stethoscope and he took out a tongue depressor. And he put the tongue depressor on your tongue and he'd look in there and I don't know what he did and they put that stethoscope on.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of diagnosed you, right?
Yeah.
Am I the only one who remembers this? But that used to be the standard operating procedure. All right.
No, I remember that.
Okay, so suppose you have some kind of incident that you have to be rushed to the hospital for and you go to Cedars-Sinai, one of the best hospitals in the country. And there they are with their $50,000 to $100,000 MRI machines and their imaging machines, and they can, you know, do images of every little drop of calcium and every molecule in your body. And you walk into the emergency room, and the doctor takes out a tongue depressor and a stethoscope. And he looks and he goes, yeah, looks okay. Or, no, a guy might be sick. And he diagnosed you with the stethoscope and the tongue depressor.
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel? Would your mouth not be gaping open?
Yeah.
Would you not be saying, wait a minute, excuse me, this is the greatest hospital in America. This is the highest rated from U.S. World News Report. You've got all these machines. You've got all these imaging. You're using a tongue depressor?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the cholesterol test is the tongue depressor of heart disease diagnosis.
Wow, what a great analogy.
It is the tongue depressor test.
Yeah.
It is so out of date. It is so ridiculously mm-hmm. dated and past its expiration date. But we are still prescribing very serious drugs based on the result of what the doctor saw with the tongue depressor.
Well, you know, Dr. Johnny, a couple of years ago, and I've talked about this on the air, my little daughter, who's now 14, she was like 12 years old, maybe 11. In fact, this was the last time I took her to the doctor because she's really healthy, and I don't even remember why I took her in the first place. It was probably something to have to do with school. I think she had to have a well checkup or something like that. And so they wanted to test her cholesterol. You know, she was like 5'4", 110 pounds, perfectly healthy, and they wanted to check her cholesterol. I said, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to check her cholesterol? And I can tell you why. It's to make money on the test and to perhaps sell her some of their drugs.
Yeah. Well, that's 100% true. I mean, I've said on the air so many times that if you're a parent and your doctor wants to put your kid on a statin, I beg of you, on my knees, change doctors.
Yeah.
Please change doctors.
It's a red flag, in my opinion.
So again, I think actually this message might be easier for people to understand than to say cholesterol doesn't matter. I'm willing to say, having done a deep dive for the last 8 years into everything that was done since our book came out,
mm-hmm.
to say that there are measurements that can be gotten from a modern cholesterol test that are very useful. And there are other markers. We have come up, there are so many markers. NP21, the genetic marker of inflammation, KIP6, the PLAQ2, which is the plaque 2 test, which actually tells you how much plaque you have and how much vulnerability there is to that plaque. The particle test, which tells you how many particles you have, which actually does matter on a cholesterol test. But this old notion of good and bad, let me give you a better example.
Mm-hmm.
Good and bad cholesterol is like dividing the world into tall and short people.
Well,
it's sort of useful. I guess that's one kind of distinction. But what does short and tall or hot and cold tell you about the environment?
Yeah.
Almost nothing. Almost nothing. It's a joke when you compare it to what we can actually measure, you know, in terms of individuals' height and the range of heights, the different parameters, body fat, BMI, all of this stuff, to just measure people in terms of tall or short, fat or thin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's insane that we are using a 1960s test to diagnose heart disease. So that's, I think, the answer that people I think even doctors might be a little bit more open to our message. If we're saying, look, guys, you've got the latest technology. You've got stuff that predicts heart disease a million times better than good and bad cholesterol. It's like 1950s when you're looking at stuff.
Well, you know, it's big business. I mean, statins has produced billions and billions of dollars in profit since it was introduced in whatever year it was introduced. But, you know, a lot of people just don't understand that, that cholesterol is a good thing. It is the parent molecule for sex hormones, right? Along with all kinds of other things.
I tell that to the guys I play tennis with because there's really no other way to get their attention because they all have erectile dysfunction.
Yeah.
And they're all on statin drugs. And I say to them, well, guys, you think there might be a connection between that? And, oh, well, my doctor didn't say so. He just said he's getting old. I mean, I don't, you know, you just want to shake people. Look, here's the thing. Here's the thing. The interesting thing, even with statins, and you know I'm not a huge fan of statins. I don't think that they're the worst thing in the world. I just think that we're over-prescribing them and trying to build a bigger market for them. For example, your daughter.
Yeah.
You know, oh, yeah, we can now put kids on statin drugs. So they're always looking for market expansion. And so I'm not happy with that. But let me say something interesting in the pro-statin realm. So you won't, so that maybe some doctors who might be listening to that will say, wait, that actually makes a point. Do you know who presents with low bad cholesterol, and who's a walking target for heart disease? What population tends to have cholesterol that the doctors say, oh, well, that's pretty good for us. That's a good LDL. We don't need statins in this guy, and he's ready to drop dead. People with metabolic syndrome, people who are on the diabetic continuum, those are the ones most likely to have hugely high particle numbers and very reasonable LDL numbers.
Yeah. Well, this is a huge subject. It really is. And who better to talk to with about it than you, Dr. Bowden? You are the author of The Great Cholesterol Myth and The Most Effective Ways to Live Longer, along with 13 other books. But we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Johnny Bowden. What is the best predictor of heart disease? Stay tuned, everyone. You're not going to want to miss it. Keep on smiling. What we go through, one stop to the rhythm that the One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, and I've got Dr. Johnny Bowden on the line, continuing on, talking about what is the best predictor of heart disease. Before we get back to him, I want to let everyone know you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. You can also go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. One Life Radio is brought to you by our great sponsors, companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water Bottled Mineral Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. And KetoMed, one of our newest sponsors, Ketogenic Metabolic Nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. And of course, Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. And Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, the Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. And thank you so much for listening to One Life Radio. We appreciate all of our listeners and our guests, great doctors like Dr. Johnny Bowden, also known as the Nutrition Mythbuster, is a nationally known expert on weight loss and health and has been seen on Dr. Oz, The Doctors, and every major television network. He has earned 6 certifications in personal training and fitness and has a master's degree in psychology, a PhD in holistic nutrition, and is board certified by the American College of Nutrition. He is the best-selling author of 15 books, including The Great Cholesterol Myth, and his newest book, The Most Effective Ways to Live Longer. His website is johnnybowden.com. That's JONNYBOWDEN.com. We're talking about what is the best predictor of heart disease. Okay, so Dr. Johnny, what is the number one predictor in your opinion?
The number one predictor of heart disease, the thing that correlates the most time and time again, over and over again, is what I call diabetic physiology.
Oh, wow.
What starts to happen with people on the road to diabetes, which always, almost always, if not 90% of the time, includes insulin resistance, a huge factor for all of the cardiometabolic problems. And we talked about that many times, and we'll go over it again, but it's basically when the cells stop responding to insulin. And that, that is key number one, that you're on the way to something very bad. So metabolic syndrome, is kind of, which is also known as pre-diabetes, is kind of the first step. I'll tell you, I would love to recommend something to people, and there's, this is not a product or a service. It's a guy on YouTube. Some of the most interesting analyses of the statistics on statin drugs and lowering cholesterol and how much it really predicts heart disease have actually been done by industry outsiders. And there is a phenomenally intelligent engineer from Australia named Ivor Cummings, and he's all over YouTube, and he's interviewed everybody, and he's made this a career on. He was diagnosed with heart disease, and he's an engineer. I don't know how many engineers you know, but they're very smart. For some reason, my tennis buddies have a very high proportion of engineers. Just the way they look at life, the way they look at statistics.
I love engineers. I've dated a lot of engineers.
This guy is really smart. There's no question.
Yeah.
He said in one of his videos, he said when he was diagnosed, and he said, well, I want to find out more about this. So he did a deep dive. I mean, you put somebody with like a 170 IQ onto this stuff, they come up with some very interesting things, even though their degree is not in medicine. And what he said, which is always going to stay with me, it was the most wonderful thing. He said, as an engineer, if I had to bring a product to market with the evidence they've got for cholesterol, I'd be laughed out of the business. I couldn't bring it in with safety. The evidence is so piss poor, we couldn't take a product to market with this. And he showed in his statistical analysis that diabetic physiology or metabolic syndrome, this pathway where you begin to get abdominal obesity, you start to get fat around the middle, you start to get, when you have low HDL cholesterol, when you have high triglycerides, all of this, that predicts it 6.4 times better than any cholesterol.
Wow.
And that's a statistical. That isn't something you don't need to be a med. All you need to do is be a good statistician.
Okay.
And I would recommend people take a look at some of it. They are meant for the intelligent layperson.
Okay.
I mean, they're not dumb, you know, but they're at the same time, they're not medical lectures. And he's got a lot of stuff on YouTube talking about heart disease and cholesterol. And I would recommend him. There's also a PhD named David Diamond, who's done some amazing statistics and reworking of the statistics of some of the statin drug manufacturers' studies. And it's really kind of amazing to look at these things reformulated. You know, when, for example, I think we all know that Lipitor was called out for this commercial. It's kind of the classic example of like really misleading with statistics. They had an ad running for years saying that Lipitor lowers the risk for heart disease by one third. And they sold a lot of Lipitor based on that. You know what really happened? Lipitor saved one. What happened is if you take 100 men and you follow them for 5 years, statistically about three of them are going to die of a heart attack in 5 years. Okay? You know, 100 men matched men. Now, if you take that same 100 men or the same a matched group of 100 men who are matched on medical history and, you know, age and all and health history and all of that stuff, and you give them a statin drug, instead of three dying, two die. So you have the cost of treating 100 men for 500 man years, but for 5 years, you know, you have this, that enormous cost. You have a list of side effects longer than your arm, and you basically saved one. You went from 3% fertility to 2%. Well, two is two-thirds of three. You know, that's a one-third reduction. It went from three to two, so they advertise it as a one-third reduction in heart disease risk.
Well, I have to tell you a story. That this just happened here like a couple of days ago. Yeah. There was someone...
28-year-old female.
Friend of ours. Female friend of ours.
Was told she has high cholesterol, and immediately she's like, I have to stay away from eggs. I have to stay away from all of these foods. I have high fat. Because the doctor said so.
Right. And we've got about 2 minutes, Dr. Johnny, just to let you know. And I hear stuff like that, and it makes my hair stand on end. And something that we've got so much information to get out here today. I wanted to talk quickly, too, after you comment on that, about we've only got about 2 minutes. But when you're on a statin, it depletes your CoQ10, which is in every cell in your body, right?
Completely. Merck actually got a patent for a statin with CoQ10 in it, because they've been aware of that since the beginning, but they decided not to market it because they said, well, nobody knows about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Right.
And I got to, if we have 30 seconds, one thing for your friend. Even the inventor of this hypothesis, Ansel Keys, knew back in the 80s and said publicly that dietary cholesterol has nothing to do with this. And this is the guy who believed that blood cholesterol told us everything. But he said, but we don't have to care about dietary cholesterol. But people couldn't make that distinction, so they just went with, yeah, just don't eat any cholesterol.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with your blood cholesterol.
It's got everything to do with sugar, though, doesn't it?
It has everything. Your body makes fat out of sugar. High triglycerides are a great sign that you're eating too much sugar. And guess how you drop high triglycerides? A low-carb diet, 99.99999% of the time, triglycerides drop like a rock.
Wow. I love having you on the show. Dr. Johnny Bowden, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. I hope you'll come back real soon. This is a big, big topic, and we need to discuss it more. All right.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too, Dr. Johnny Bowden. You can find him at his website, johnnybowden.com. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. Have a safe weekend. Be vigilant. Be careful. You know, there's a lot of crazy drivers out there, so stay safe. And you know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there this weekend and make the most of it.